WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
Good afternoon, ladies and gents. Hope you all had a wonderful weekend. A new week has begun, and this one is pretty special due to the fact that it's Thanksgiving week. Yeah, come on. We all love Thanksgiving. I can smell the turkey, the ham, cranberry sauce, my grandma's greens. I mean, I could go on and on and on. I cannot wait for this Thursday. I'm going to be in heaven, all right? Just like I'm sure many of you will be this Thursday as well. But okay, let's dive into current sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. As always here on Mondays, we have a jam-packed show for you all. Tons to get to on this past weekend in this world, in the world of Mid-Michigan sports. I mean, I tell you, there was so much going on, guys. We're going to recap and update you on the MSU football team and the MSU men's basketball team. They both raised trophies over the weekend. A Detroit Tiger says bye-bye, and the magical season of the MSU men's soccer team just keeps on rolling. We are going to invite a guest. Kevin Cope is going to join me at 1:15 to talk about that overtime thriller yesterday at DeMartin Stadium as the MSU soccer team, men's soccer team, they move on to the Sweet 16. Yes, the Sweet 16 for them as they top Louisville in double overtime. Double overtime yesterday. It was freezing out there, too. 20 degrees outside. It was a frigid day, but they pulled it off. Kevin is going to join me and talk about that later on in the show. And if you want to call in and give your thoughts on any of the weekend sporting action, you know, you can give us a call at 517-355-9527. Again, that's 517-355-9527. Those who do call in will automatically be entered in our drawing to win two tickets. Yes, two tickets to the MSU and Minnesota game. Okay, and you will also, you know, we just got word that we will also give you, those who call in will be entered in a drawing to possibly win some tickets to Mateen Cleaves' tailgate. Also, the One Goal, One Passion tailgate taking place this Saturday. So if you call in, you're automatically entered. Just call in and share your thoughts on any of the weekend sporting action. That's 517-355-9527. So call in right now. While you're doing that, here are your current sports headliners on this November 25th, 2013. All right, the Lions and Buccaneers, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, held on yesterday for a 24-21 win over the Detroit Lions. Tampa Bay has won three straight now after losing its first eight, joining the 1978 St. Louis Cardinals as the only NFL team to do that. How about that? 1978. Now, the Lions had five turnovers. Four of them were Matthew Stafford interceptions. The Lions have lost two straight for the first time this season. They missed out on a chance to break a first-place tie in the NFC North with Chicago. Now, Stafford was 26 of 46 for 297 yards with three touchdowns. He connected with Nate Burleson. How about, it's good to see Nate back after breaking his arm in that car crash, that car accident after reaching for a pizza. But Nate is back now. He had a touchdown yesterday. Brandon Pettigrew had one, and also Joseph Fauria for scores that they couldn't overcome the interceptions that Stafford threw, though. It was just bad. Stafford said afterwards, I can't make bad decisions. So simple as that. Now, Stafford also was picked off when Pettigrew ducked when a pass came his way and Leonard Johnson returned it 48 yards for the go-ahead score late in the first half. Stafford's first interception in Tampa Bay territory went off of Nate Burleson. Now, Calvin Johnson, he had seven receptions for 115 yards, but he and the Lions didn't take advantage of the Bucs playing in the second half without their star cornerback, Darrell Revis. So they really couldn't take advantage of that matchup. Reggie Bush, he had 100 yards of offense for the Lions. So we'll dive into that Lions game later on this hour. Again, if you want to call in and talk about any of the weekend action, including the Lions and Bucks, give us a call at 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527, and share your thoughts on that game yesterday. All right, free agent shortstop Johnny Peralta and the St. Louis Cardinals have agreed on a four-year contract, giving the All-Star a fresh start after his Biogenesis drug suspension last summer. The deal is worth around $52 million, and the Cardinals filled a need by getting a top-hitting shortstop a month after losing the World Series in six games to Boston. But the move drew a different reaction from a couple of big leaguers. This is from Brad Ziegler. He tweeted this, Arizona pitcher. He tweeted this, quote, "It pays to cheat. Thanks, owners, for encouraging PED use." This is from free agent Dave Ardazma. He also took to Twitter saying, quote, "Apparently getting suspended for PEDs means you get a raise. What's stopping anyone from doing it? Hashtag we need to make a change." So now the 31-year-old Peralta was suspended 50 games last season as a result of Major League Baseball's investigation in the Hope Biogenesis case involving performance-enhancing drugs. He returned to the Tigers in late September and played in the postseason both in left field and at shortstop, and had a few big moments for the Tigers actually in the postseason. Now, shortly before Peralta was penalized, the Tigers acquired young shortstop Jose Iglesias, who is a superstar. The kid is pretty good, from Boston in a three-team trade. Peralta hit .303 with 11 home runs and 55 RBIs in 107 games during the regular season, then batted .333 with one homer, four doubles, and six RBIs in 10 playoff games. We'll definitely be talking about that as the week goes on. Pistons and Nets were also in action yesterday at a weird time, right in the middle of the day yesterday. Rodney Stuckey. Y'all know how I feel about Stuckey, but Rodney Stuckey scored a season-high 27 points in the Detroit Pistons' 109-97 victory that sent the Nets to a fifth straight loss in sole possession of the Atlantic Division basement. Now, the Nets, with their enormous payroll and enormous expectations, fell to, get this, 3-10. The Nets are 3-10 right now, folks. A half game behind the New York Knicks, and we're hearing boos at Barclays Center in the second half. Now, Greg Monroe, he had 18 points, 11 rebounds, who bounced back from consecutive losses to Atlanta. Brandon Jennings added 14 points, 10 assists, making all 10 free throws to make up for a 2-for-10 shooting performance. Stuckey kept the Nets at bay from there, scoring 17 in the fourth. He came in leading all Eastern Conference reserves with 14.8 points per game and helped the Pistons overcome 4-for-20 shooting from starting guards Jennings and Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. Stuckey said afterwards, quote, "I'm just trying to come in and just be that energy guy that we need off the bench. Just bring energy and whatever my teammates need me to do. They rely on me to score some baskets. That's what I've got to do." Now, Detroit's Andre Drummond finished with 9 points and 10 rebounds, ending his streak of 7 straight double-doubles. He was 1-for-4 after the Nets resorted to intentionally fouling him in the fourth quarter. Andre, you got to get better at the free throws, man. Kevin Garnett tied Hall of Famer Gary Payton for 9th on the NBA's career list with his 1,335th game. How about that, KG? You're getting up there, man. We're already up there. All right, MSU and Northwestern football on Saturday. Another week, another Big Ten victory. The Michigan State Spartans wrapped up their second Legends Division title in 3 seasons with a 30-6 romp over Northwestern, led by Connor Cook's career-high 293 yards and Jeremy Langford's 6 consecutive 100-yard effort on the ground. Now, the Spartans turned in one of their most balanced efforts of the season. The defense picked off 3 Northwestern passes and shut the Wildcats out in the second half. The win clinched the anticipated Ohio State versus MSU matchup in the Big Ten championship game in Indy. And this is what Mark D'Antonio said afterwards, quote, "I'm happy to have the hat on and wear it for a couple of weeks and then turn it in." So there you go. The 10-1 Spartans are 11th in the BCS and could inch their way into the top 10 with a win over Minnesota next week. This Saturday, I should say. Staying in the top 14 is vital if they want a shot at a large BCS bid if they fall short in Indy. Well, there you go. There you have that. Michigan and Iowa also were in action on Saturday. Another lackluster offensive effort doomed Michigan to their 4th loss in 6 games. Despite a 4-1 turnover margin, the Wolverines were shut out in the second half and fell to the Hawkeyes 24-21. Devin Gardner's fumble, and he's a fumble king, man, just a turnover king, I tell you. His fumble with just over 2 minutes left was Michigan's lone turnover, but the defense struggled to move the ball anyway, amassing just 158 total yards. Now, they jumped out to an early lead on a tip pass from Iowa's Jake Ruddock, which Brendan Byer caught and returned for a quick pick six. Michigan led 21-7 at the half, before the Hawkeyes mounted their comeback behind Ruddock's arm and rugged running of Mark Wiseman. Now, Michigan coach Brady Hoke will try and right the ship against rival Ohio State next week, which I don't think any of us are anticipating will happen, in a game that looks incredibly lopsided. So there you have that. All right, MSU and the coaches versus cancer tourney. Not to be outdone by the football team, the top-ranked MSU men's basketball squad took home the Coaches vs. Cancer Championships in Brooklyn, New York, with an 87-76 win over Oklahoma. Now, after cruising past Virginia Tech 96-77 in the semis, Oklahoma gave the Spartans all they could handle, especially early in that game, folks. The Sooners started out shooting 9-for-10 from the field and built a 22-11 lead before the Spartans stormed back and closed the first half on a 34-9 run. Now, things tightened up in the second. The Sooners swingman Cameron Clark's 32 points closing the gap. The Spartan lead dwindled to 4 points when senior point guard Keith Appling, who has been great. He was actually the tourney MVP. He took home tourney MVP honors. Keith Appling was great. Appling scored 8 of his 27. He has 27 points for him in the final 3 minutes and 4 seconds to help seal the win and earn that that tourney MVP honor. The Spartans are off until after Thanksgiving, hosting Mount St. Mary's on Friday. So there you have that. Michigan, they lost to Charlotte yesterday, folks. Charlotte had a stunning win over number 14 Michigan on Sunday in the final of the Puerto Rico tip-off. Michigan's Mitch McGarry tied it at 61 on a layup with 9 seconds left. But Charlotte quickly pushed the ball up the floor, and Terrence Williams hit a game-winning layup with 0.4 seconds left. How about that? And this is from Charlotte coach Alan Major. He said afterwards, quote, "That's one of the most incredible basketball games I've ever been a part of. All three games in this tournament got sticky. The thing that's been the most encouraging and fun for me is watching them come together down here and just try to be a team. They deserve this." Now, the title is Charlotte's second early season tournament win in 2 seasons. They won the Great Alaska Shootout last year. All right, MSU and Rice women's basketball. I want to update you guys on that. After leading by only 2 points at halftime, number 21 MSU women's basketball team made a 13-0 run midway through the second half that powered them to an 81-68 win against Rice on Saturday night. MSU also saw the return of junior forward Madison Williams. Yes, Maddie was back out there, folks, who had 3 ligament tears in 3 years. She played her first game since, get this, November 15th of 2011. Williams scored 6 points in 5 minutes, had 1 rebound, 1 steal, and a block. That is something else. Really, really glad to see Madison Williams back out there and playing. Junior forward Becker Mills, she led both teams with her season-high 20 points. Also scoring in double figures for the Spartans was junior guard Kiana Johnson, who had 15 points. Senior forward Annalise Pickerel with 14, and senior guard Larissa Bell had 10. The Spartans will now take on Temple in Philadelphia. And some high school football action to update you on. Of course, the playoffs are here, and it's state championship time, folks. DeWitt and Ithaca both advanced to the state finals at Ford Field on Saturday. The Panthers made their 9th semifinal appearance since the 2000 season, but lost their last 4 state semifinal games, unable to reach the finals. Now, DeWitt changed that Saturday, beating St. Clair from a missed 2-point conversion for St. Clair to take the lead. Ithaca also beat Montrose off a missed extra point. It was a close one. It was really, really a nail biter with that Ithaca and Montrose game. DeWitt will now face Zeeland West, who is really, really good. DeWitt is actually the underdog in that game, but they now face Zeeland West in an attempt for their first state title. And Ithaca goes on to face Clinton to keep the longest winning streak in the nation. Yes, the nation, folks, alive. How about that? Well, those are your current sports headliners on this November 25th, 2013. If you want to comment on any of those, call in 517-355-9527. Again, that's 517-355-9527. Those who do will automatically be entered in our drawing to possibly win 2 MSU home football tickets for the last home game of the season against Minnesota this Saturday. And also, you will get a chance to go to the Mateen Cleaves One Goal, One Passion tailgate before that game. Again, if you want to be entered, if you want your name to be entered to possibly win that, call in at 517-355-9527. And there was also one other headliner that was pretty darn big this weekend. All right, the MSU men's soccer team, they pulled off just one incredible, thrilling double overtime win over Louisville yesterday. It was redonkulous, all right, folks? Just crazy. They move now to the Sweet 16 of the NCAA tournament. That's exciting stuff. Junior Tim Kreutz, actually, he nailed a header at the 6:29 mark in double OT for the win. And today, we have one of the men who played in that game yesterday, senior MSU men's soccer player Kevin Cope. How you doing, Kevin? Welcome to the show.
I'm doing well. How are you?
Very well. How you doing? First of all, I got to ask you, Kevin, how did it feel? That moment, that mark, the 6:29 mark, when Tim puts in that header and wins it. I mean, I saw the highlights. He runs off, takes his shirt off. You guys go nuts. What was going through your head? What was that moment like?
I'm a defender, so I was in the back. So when he scored, I started running up. But then he started sprinting away from me. So then I had to chase him. And after playing, 105 minutes, chasing him for another 20 seconds was the last thing I wanted to do. But the fact that we were winning, the fact that we won the game, made it worth it. So, we got a dog pile in, and Damon was pretty happy. So on to the Sweet 16.
Yeah, you take the in soccer, you got to take the shirt off, right? That's how you celebrate in soccer. I don't know why, but that's how it is.
That's right. Gloves came off and the shirt came off.
In 20-degree weather.
That's right. Whatever,
fun stuff.
Whatever you got to do.
Exactly. Know? Fun stuff. Now, Kevin, I got to ask you, because that was a serious grind-out type of game. Again, you guys go to double overtime against Louisville. Talk about that game going to overtime. Were you guys getting a bit nervous at all, and what was the message?
Me personally, I was never nervous. At halftime, it was 0-0. We didn't play our best half, but we were still pretty confident. The second half came out, and we started imposing ourselves a little more. And then, come overtime, the message was just, it's our game. It's ours for the taking. We're the home team. They're tired. They played on Thursday. We didn't. We got the first round bye. So we just wanted to keep pushing it and pedal the metal and keep going at them. And that's exactly what we did. And we rewarded with 3 minutes left in the game. So, PKs started to come into my mind, but,
right,
we got the win. So on to the Sweet 16 for my second time. So hopefully we can keep this run going and I can make it to the Elite Eight here in my senior season.
That will be great stuff. Now, I got to ask you, Kevin, in a game like that, when you're deadlocked at 0-0 at the end of regulation, why do you think that game was so close? What was Louisville doing to frustrate you guys and vice versa on both ends of the field?
It's not even who our opponent was. The fact that it's a NCAA tournament game, at this point, the message is just survive in advance, and that's what both teams were trying to do. So, we pride ourselves on defense, and we truly believe that defense wins championships, and that's what a lot of teams are saying right now as well. So, it's lockdown defense at this point, and that's why we had the 0-0 game, and the fact that we were home and had the cold weather to our advantage, it's a right. little warmer down in Louisville. It's still close, but a little colder
here. You
guys
are a little used to this. You're used to this more, I should say.
That's right. That's right. So, we had some gloves on, but there was a couple guys on their team with the turtlenecks and stuff like that, and we didn't seem to need that. So we used the weather to our advantage and came out on top.
I got
to
ask you, Kevin, because, you're talking about 20-degree weather. The wind chill probably made it feel like in single digits out there. How do you mentally prepare for a game like that? And how is it playing out in freezing weather like that? Does it kind of become numb to you after a while or what?
Yeah, honestly, it does. I personally wasn't that cold during the game.
Get out of here, really?
I promise you.
And you're just out there, a t-shirt and shorts, right?
That's right. I wore gloves for the first time in my college career yesterday, but hey, we won, so maybe I'll wear them in the Sweet 16 too. But once you warm up and get the blood going, the adrenaline kicks in. And me personally, I was warm, and winning definitely makes it a little bit better and makes the shower afterwards that much warmer and that much sweeter. So, definitely getting the win helps for sure.
Yeah, I hope no one gets sick. That's all. I'm just knocking on wood here, all
right? Yeah, we're practicing in the Duffy football's indoor facility today.
Nice.
So just a little recovery day and stay warm, and then tomorrow's off, and Wednesday we'll probably be back outside. But, right. Hey. A lot of teams are sitting at home right now, and we're just happy to still be practicing. I'll do it in 20-degree weather, 10-degree weather, whatever you got to do.
It doesn't matter, baby.
That's right.
There you
go. Senior season, I'm trying to make a run.
There you go. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're just now joining us, here on Current Sports. I'm talking with MSU men's soccer player Kevin Cope. The MSU men's soccer team, of course, they just advanced to the Sweet 16, folks. The Sweet 16 of the NCAA tournament. They will now take on Georgetown on December 1st. Excuse me. We'll get to that in just a sec. Now, I want to ask you, Kevin, what was head coach Damon Rensing's message to you guys before and after that game?
The message before has been pretty consistent with what he's been telling us all year, and that's throw the first punch. You know, especially being at home in the NCAA tournament, you want to impose, like I said, we wanted to impose ourselves on Louisville. We didn't want them to dictate the game. So, you know, by us coming out and throwing the first punch, letting them know that it's going to be a hard-fought 90-minute game, you know, that was the biggest thing for us and to protect our home field. So, you know, I mean, everybody was motivated, adrenaline was going, and I think we did just that. And then after the game, you know, Damon just told us how proud he was of us, you know, coming through, battling. You know, we've had some tough injuries this season with, you know, I was nicked up for a little bit. Ryan Keener, another big-time center back, he went down with an injury during the game. So different guys had to step up and play roles that maybe they're not used to. But, you know, we came through together as a team, and that's what we've been doing all season, guys stepping up in big moments. And Tim did that in double overtime, and now we're moving on.
Now, you guys move on, as we just stated. You guys are in the Sweet 16 right now. And this is the second time in the last four seasons you guys have done this. Kevin, you, of course, as you just said, you were on the team that last went to the Sweet 16. For you personally, I know you're not satisfied with just getting to the Sweet 16. You want Elite Eight, Final Four. I mean, talk about that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, a Sweet 16 is awesome, but I'm trying to celebrate a Final Four or, you know, whatever, however far we make it. When we made it to the Sweet 16 my sophomore year, we played at North Carolina. And I don't know if you know what happened in that game, but we were up 1-0, and we gave up a goal with 9 seconds left to tie it. And then we went to, you know, overtime and no goals in the two overtime periods. So we went to shootout and ended up losing. So
Heartbreaker,
that's for sure. And, you know, it brings back bad memories just seeing those seniors on that day. You know, tears in their eyes, and it was a heartbreaker. That's the perfect word for it. And I don't want that feeling, not yet. So
you have nightmares about that game.
That's right, I do. nine seconds. That's all it took was 9 seconds. And you know,
right.
Damon and Kylie remind us all the time when we do restarts and stuff like that. It's we got to be focused and in tune because, you know, we were 9 seconds away from an Elite Eight, but we gave up a restart goal. So you know, you live and you learn. And luckily for me, I wasn't a senior that year, so you know, I did learn, and now I'm the senior. So hopefully it doesn't end that way for us, but we'll see you on Sunday.
Kevin, do you think this year's team is better than that year's team that went to the Sweet 16?
That's a tough question. I think we have a closer knit group this year. So I think that can work to our advantage, you know, because you're not just playing for yourselves, you're playing for each other. And like I said, you know, guys stepped up big time yesterday, and that's because we have confidence and trust in each other. And, you know, no one's worried about making mistakes because, you know, we have that family culture, that family atmosphere just with the team. So, you know, with Thanksgiving coming up, we're going to have practice on Thanksgiving morning, I believe.
Get out of here, really? Before you eat the turkey,
Sweet
practice.
Sweet 16, man.
So you can't
Sweet
pick 16. Out. You can't pick out any turkey or anything.
No, right? I'm going to. I'm the big eater on the team. So I'm going to practice Thursday morning, head home, spend some time with my family, and then come back right back to this Michigan State soccer family, and we'll head to D.C. on Friday morning. So, but, you know, just like I said, that family atmosphere is really something that is – special with this team. So
it's vital, yeah.
Hopefully it can take us to Elite Eight and beyond.
And you know, it's something I asked Damon when he was on the show last week. You know, when you talk about, you know, the pressure of being, you know, possibly one and done, you know, that's all it takes. One loss and you're done out of the NCAA tourney. That's a lot of pressure for any team that's in the tournament right now to deal with. What do you do to kind of relax and just, what do you do away from the field, Kevin, to get your mind off of things and just kind of cool out and just stay even keel? Because you know what? Damon told me that he watches the Kardashians, believe it or not. He's a big show. You can tease him about that later if you didn't know that. He's a big Kim Kardashian fan. Well, he watches it with his wife. But what do you do away from the field?
Yeah, well, first off, a couple guys heard that live on the radio.
Get out of here, really?
And gave him a hard time. So, You know, he kind of tried to defend himself, saying, "Oh, I love my wife. I do it for her."
He's watching it by himself sometimes, too. Yeah, probably. Right.
I wouldn't doubt it. But, you know, hey, whatever you got to do to stay calm. What do I do? You know, I'm a pretty calm person. I don't
listen to music or anything.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I do listen to music. Like I said, I'm a big eater, so I like to have a couple
so
big meals.
You're gonna go
here
crazy
and there
on Thanksgiving. Don't come back 5 pounds heavier the next day, all right?
I'm gonna lose sleep in the next couple days just thinking about how much I'm gonna eat on Thursday.
I mean, just thinking
about what kind of pies my aunts are gonna bring. Trust me, I'm a big eater. You can ask anybody on the team. But
right.
You know, I don't know. I do watch TV. I watch lots of sports, so football, basketball, soccer, anything that's on. You know, I'm a big sports fan, especially Detroit sports. So,
yeah.
You know, just sticking to my daily routine of, you know, practice and doing that. And
well, there you go. Just a chill guy.
That's,
you know,
honestly,
not like me.
Honestly, just laid back. I mean,
right.
Give me a cup of coffee in the morning, and then at night, give me a big meal, and I'm set.
You're a happy man.
I'm relaxed.
Simple guy,
that's
Kevin.
Right.
You're
that's
that
right.
lazy. He's a simple guy. He's a simple guy that's to right. please. Kevin, now you guys, you know, shift your mindset now to Georgetown. December 1st in Washington, D.C. Talk about, you know, the type of team that Georgetown is and how you guys will be preparing for that upcoming matchup.
I mean, they're a good team. They made a run last year, made it very deep in the tournament. So, and they have that experience coming back. So they, you know, I think they can use that to their advantage. But we're also very mature and very experienced as well. So hopefully those can, you know, match up. I've played Georgetown twice since I've been here, and we lost both games. The first one was at Georgetown, which came after an overtime win versus Maryland, and so that was a we were physically drained, emotionally drained, just because it was a huge win for us, for the program. We came out, so we beat Maryland on Friday night, came out on Sunday, and got beat 4-0. And that's my
4-0, man.
It's my worst loss I'll say ever experienced at Michigan State, but might be the worst loss I've ever had in my soccer career.
Why is that?
It was just 4-0. I've never felt embarrassed on a soccer field more than I did that day.
Mm-hmm.
Then the next year they came to our place and we were up 1-0, I believe, and then they tied it up and we missed two PKs to win the game. And then ended up, we missed both of those, and then we ended up giving up a free kick goal and we lost 2-1. So just another heartbreaker, you know. So hopefully we can write a new script come Sunday. We're going to have an intense week of practice. Like I said, we're not even going to have Thursday off.
Right.
So, you know, at this point in the season, it's just, we know what we have to do. It's just a matter of recovering and staying sharp. So hopefully we can have a sharp, in-tune training session all week. And then once we go to D.C., you know, we can enjoy ourselves, but we know it's a business trip. And hopefully we can come back Elite Eight bound, you know. So that's the game plan. That's the goal. And we're going to do everything we can this week to make that happen.
There you go. Well, only time will tell. I mean, that's dedication. Anytime you're sacrificing Turkey Day to even practice, that's great stuff. Now, also, before I let you go, Kevin, you are also a finalist for the Senior Class Award. Talk about what that award is.
It's called the Senior Class Award, and it's first off, I mean, it's just an honor to be in that category. You know, I was one of the 30-some men's soccer players to get nominated for it, and then made the cut that cut it down to 10. So it's just an honor to be, you know, in a class with those kind of guys. So the award kind of it recognizes people for their soccer skills, their character, their community service, and just leadership, things like that. So it ties it all together, just kind of the person that you are, I guess. Not just soccer, but soccer and everything else. So like I said, being nominated for it is an awesome thing. You can vote online.
The voting is open right now, because I was doing some research on it, and you know, I looked it up, and you know, I went to the website, and it, like you said, it encompasses more than what you do on the soccer field. It
right.
talks about your character, you know, what, you know, philanthropic endeavors you've done throughout your you know, time here at MSU. I mean, talk about what else you do besides being a soccer player, Kevin.
You know, I think I'm a good leader on and off the soccer field. I try to lead the guys on the field, obviously, vocal leader, lead by example, and then I also try to lead, you know, in the classroom. I've I've had a very successful academic career here at Michigan State as well. I'm graduating this December.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
What date?
December 14th, I believe.
Man, there's a lot of people graduating on that.
Yeah, I know it. My grandma's coming up for it from Arkansas and everything, so it's a big deal, and my parents are proud of me. And just encompassing the whole student-athlete experience. And I think, leading by example in the classroom is huge, and Damon definitely appreciates that. The younger guys see me getting good grades and going to class, which is huge. My freshman year, we struggled as a team in the classroom, and thanks to, Damon and Jeremy Flynn, our academic advisor, we've turned that around big time. So, hopefully the team, they respect what I do on and off the field, and leading the program in the right direction.
That's great stuff. And what's your major, Kevin?
Finance.
Finance. What made you want to get into finance?
I just think I'm a numbers guy. I'm a business guy. So that just seemed to be the right thing for me. Hopefully once my college career is done, hopefully I can play professionally. We'll see what happens. If not, I have my degree to fall back on.
It is
a pretty good plan B too. And my parents raised me the right way, and they were very adamant about me finishing and getting my degree, I'm doing. So making them happy, and then hopefully when I'm, as I'm still young, I can pursue my dreams. And if that doesn't work out, like I said, I'll work my way into the finance world and start my real life.
Just like my grandma said, always have a plan B, baby. Always said that. My grandma used to preach that to me. Hey, Kevin, you seem like one outstanding young man. I wish you guys all the luck again December 1st in Washington against Georgetown. Hey, Kevin, thanks a lot for joining me, and good luck.
You.
All right.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Appreciate it. All right. Well, there you have it again. The Spartans, they have advanced to the Sweet 16 for the second time in 4 years. Again, Georgetown, December 1st in Washington. You do not want to miss that one, folks. All right. Well, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk MSU and Michigan football along with the Lions and their loss to the Buccaneers yesterday. If you want to share your thoughts and call in, 517-355-9527. Again, that's 517-355-9527. If you do, you will automatically be entered to win 2 MSU football tickets to the last home game of the season this Saturday against Minnesota. Again, call in 517-355-9527. Don't go anywhere. Current Sports will be right back. Welcome back to Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. Well, if you're just now joining us here on the show, I just finished talking with Kevin Cope. He is a MSU men's soccer player. The MSU men's soccer team, they pulled off one thrilling victory yesterday in frigid cold weather, about 20 degrees outside, wind chill made it 9. They pulled off a great win over Louisville. They are now in the Sweet 16 for the second time in the last 4 seasons. So they've been here before. It's about getting over that hump and trying to go deeper into the tourney. Again, one incredible victory there. I believe it was Tim Kreutz. He actually nailed a header at the 6:29 mark in double overtime for the win. Again, they will now play in the Sweet 16. Their opponent will be Georgetown. That will be taking place on December 1st in Washington, D.C. All right, well, let's shift gears. So much happened this weekend in the world of sports, including Saturday, MSU winning the Legends Division title in the Big Ten. They clinched it, folks, with the win over Northwestern in Illinois. They looked really darn good, to say the least. Of course, Matt and Alex, they now join me to discuss that game. And, guys, before I get your thoughts on it, just want to say the MSU defense, they were great in the second half. They were great. They gave up a lot on the ground in that first half. The Wildcats, they had actually 53 yards rushing early in the first half to a defense that allows an average of 56 yards on the ground per game. So that was shocking, but second half, they look like a totally different defense. Three interceptions in the second half. Five opponents have been held now without a touchdown this season. And five Big Ten opponents have been shut out in the second half while going against this MSU defense. Thought, Connor, Cook, you're cooking it up, baby. He looked great. He looked so confident, so comfortable, so poised. And something I've said, it seems as though Connor Cook just gets better week by week by week. And I tell you what, guys, the play that really stood out to me and said, man, Cook, he looks just so comfortable. I haven't seen him look this comfortable this entire season. Was that ball fake on that made it 23-6, I believe, on a TD pass from Cook to Josiah Price. The ball fake, I mean, he stepped back, he fakes the handoff, fakes the end around, and just looks and just stands up, looks around a little bit, sees Price, delivers it. He looked cooler than the other side of the pillow. Just unbelievable. Unbelievable, man. Cook is really, he's showing me some stuff, guys. And I think this team has a legit shot against Ohio State in this Big Ten championship game, guys. What are your thoughts on the games? Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I have to agree with just about everything you said. And it's not just Cook who gets better every game.
The receivers.
Jeremy Langford is right there.
And Jeremy Langford
has six straight 100-yard game. He has another back-breaking touchdown with the 37-yard scamper to pretty much put it away. The guy gets better every week. He took over. He had that drive in the second quarter that was basically just, let's hand the ball to Jeremy Langford 11 times until we score.
Yeah.
And they did. And he was pretty tough to stop. The offensive line opens up so many huge holes for him. He can get to the second level, and then he's explosive enough to make something happen in the open field. I mean, they're hitting on all cylinders. They had four penalties for 30 yards.
Yeah.
No turnovers. Everybody, you know, the announcers kept talking about how terrible the wind was and how big of an effect that would have. Cook was extremely accurate.
Very accurate. I mean, there were very few times you saw Cook throw an arid pass entire game.
I mean, he did. He got lucky on the throw to Fowler.
Oh, yeah, of course that was lucky. But you know what's so key to that play? It's so funny because if you look at that play, the play call that Warner called, I don't believe it was a pass. I think it was a totally different play. Cook recognized something and actually changed the play at the line. He checked the play and then throws that. You know, it wouldn't have been possible without Cook changing the play in the first place, you know?
He's just so comfortable back there.
He is.
It's such a sight to see because, I mean, geez, 10 weeks ago, did any of us see this coming?
No. I mean, we were singing a totally different tune on this show, on Current Sports, at the beginning of the season, when they couldn't find a quarterback. I mean, you had Alex saying, who's your boy? He was throwing out some names for who would be the starting quarterback. I'm sitting there like, I don't know. Eventually, I settled on Cook and said Cook would be the starting quarterback. But did I think he was going to be this good? Yeah, right. Please. Heck no. He was great. He had no interceptions that entire game. And you also, you know, something we alluded to last week is you got to give the receivers, the wide receivers for this MSU football team have also gotten better. Tony Lippett made a few great catches. Keith Mumphrey stepped up. Of course, Benny Fowler has been great these past few weeks. The receivers are making plays, and they're catching balls that should be caught. And even some plays that are kind of out of their reach, they're diving for balls. I mean, they're really making it easy for Cook to just do his job out there, and you got to give hats off to them as well.
Yeah, the confidence level, I mean, it's opposite ends of the spectrum from the beginning of the year to now. I mean, they're they're making plays. Like you said, they're making plays that they didn't have a prayer of making earlier in the season.
No.
It's awesome to see. It's, you know, you knew the defense was going to be the defense, and they've been up to their billing. But to watch the way the offense has just come full circle is just makes you proud.
It does. And, you know, and you also got to give a shout out. I thought it was, from a play calling perspective, I thought it was Dave Warner's best game. I thought, you know, the plays that were called and allowing Cook to make those plays downfield and find receivers and mix it in with the run with Jeremy Langford, I thought it was a great balance of, you know, throwing down the field, but also recognizing that, hey, you got Jeremy back here, and Jeremy will also tore it up on the ground. I mean, what is it? It's six straight game, six straight 100-yard game. I mean,
over 1,000 for the season.
Yeah, over 1,000 for the season. Jeremy Langford's been great. And, you know, it's something that's also comforting if you're a Spartan fan, excuse me, because, you know, you look at last season when you lost a guy who was the offense, MSU offense, in Le'Veon Bell, and you're sitting there like, who's going to be the guy now? Who will be the guy in the backfield now? And Jeremy Langford has, you know, taken the torch and really run with it. He's so elusive. You know, he's got great quickness, and he's going to be special as time goes on. But, yeah, I mean, there's nothing that you can really harp on other than the defense giving up, you know, 53 yards, you know, early in that first half. I mean, if there's really nothing you can harp on negative-wise about this MSU football team. I can't find anything in that game. Alex?
So, initial reactions. Recap, great, hit on a lot of cylinders there. The only thing that I'm kind of questioning about was that targeting play from Isaiah Lewis early in the game.
Oh, yeah, the hit.
What was even more startling to me was at the end of the game, when Mark D'Antonio got the hat, read about this, didn't see this, when Mark D'Antonio got the championship hat, he took a second hat, placed it on Isaiah Lewis, and told him that how much it meant to Isaiah because he wasn't able to experience that game. He was unable to play. So that hat meant a lot more to Isaiah than it did to a lot of the other teammates. So first of all, I want to know, A, how that could be taken from Northwestern's perspective, seeing the whole hat thing and their perspective of it, and B, whether you agree with the call.
So hold on. So basically just D'Antonio put a hat on Isaiah Lewis and said,
I don't remember the exact quote, but it was saying how
he gave Lewis the first hat.
Gave Lewis the first hat.
I don't see nothing wrong with that.
I don't see anything wrong with it either.
I don't see anything wrong with that.
From a Northwestern side, they might say, well, why is he being rewarded with the first hat for a penalty that was obviously targeting our quarterback, if not changing the outcome of the game?
Well, I agree. You know, with the way, first of all, when it comes to that call, we're going to get to it. We have a call on the line one in just a second. But when it comes to that call, I thought it was the right call. With the way
you guys really thought it was the right call?
I thought it was the right call. I definitely do, because with the way they're calling the game, if you lead with your head, you're going to get that flag. You're going
to
get that. Come on,
Max.
We know that.
To have it be targeting, you have to have intent
it's different.
Yeah, Coulter's on the ground. It's not like he was up
he was
in the
being
air
dirty.
And he's sizing him up. Well, that's why a suspension would be necessary, or an ejection would be necessary, if it is dirty. And it's not. It's just a football play.
This is the debate we've had. You know,
you just said it was the right call.
I thought it was the right call because he's leading with his head. You know, you can't do that. And you're going to get a flag, and you're going to get thrown out of the game.
This isn't Ndamukong Suh. It's not like you have 300 pounds running at the quarterback
for his knees. I'm not talking about the history. I'm talking about that one specific play. He led with his head on the play. It was helmet-to-helmet contact in college football and in football in general.
You're
going to get flagged.
I guess what I'm saying is how do you not lead with your head when the guy is already falling to the ground?
That's what I'm saying.
So how would you take him out of the game today,
the way it's being called, we've seen it in the NFL as well. If you're helmet-to-helmet, whether it's intent or not, if it's happened on an accident, you're going to get flagged for it. I wasn't surprised. I'm totally fine with him getting flagged for
a helmet-to-helmet hit. I'm not okay with him getting ejected for targeting.
So you're talking about the intent. We're talking about intent, whether he wants to do it on purpose.
Give him a 15-yard flag, by all means. Warranted. It was helmet-to-helmet. It's not like he sized him up and you know, Coulter's coming down in the air. Because he's not a quarterback on that play. He was the receiver. He bobbles the ball, falls to the ground, and he hits him.
I guess I should say this. I wasn't surprised that he got thrown out.
That's okay.
I don't think he should have got thrown out, but I was not. When it happened, I'm like, I'm not surprised. You know what I mean? Because the way it's being called, I guess I could change it and say that, because I could definitely see both sides of the spectrum here.
I agree with you there.
Was not surprised. All right, we got Max on line one. How you doing, Max? Welcome to Current Sports.
Hey, what's up? What's up, Val? This is your boy, Max. You know, I had to
weigh in. What's going on, man? Yeah, of course I know Max. Max is just in town this weekend. What's up, man?
Yeah, man. That was a heck of a time in Ann Arbor, man. I had to weigh in on the MSU big victory, the football victory earlier this weekend. And I just want to say we weren't ranked when we started out the season. Mm-hmm. And our dreaded rival in Ann Arbor actually was. And now the tables have turned, and I really think that kind of lit a fire under our butts. I think we needed that. That was good. And I don't want to get too confident now, but I'm starting to feel like we have a really good shot. I agree with you. I have a really good feeling about this Big Ten championship game coming up, mm-hmm. Which I will be at actually, and I'm excited for that. But the other thing was the Notre Dame game. Had we played that game a little bit later this season, we probably would be an 11-0 team, because we only lost by a few points. I think we worked out a couple kinks. Maybe we switched up the schedule, put Illinois in that place and put, you know, switch place with Illinois or the Illinois game or the Indiana game or something like that, we might be a top five team in the entire country right now.
That's a very, very valid point. Hey, Max, thanks a lot for the call, brother.
Absolutely. Take care, Al.
All right, you too, man. Yeah, that's very, very true. I think that if MSU, you know, would have played in Notre Dame later on in the season, I think they would be undefeated right now, to be honest with you guys, because, you know, a season, you know, when you talk about a season, no matter what sport it is, it takes time to, you know, and we know MSU was trying to find themselves at the beginning of the season. Of course, they didn't know who their quarterback was at the beginning of the season. That was the big story. And, you know, as time goes on, game by game in a season, you start to find yourself and the chemistry starts to become better and you start to gel. This MSU football team is clicking on all cylinders and are definitely gelling right now. I think if they were to play Notre Dame right now, they will win against Notre Dame. Definitely. And definitely a great point. But, you know, overall, though, I mean, this MSU football team is definitely impressive,
yeah,
without a doubt.
And, hey, I mean, maybe you don't have to switch the schedule around. Maybe you just leave Connor Cook in for that final drive. Who knows?
That's true, too. You know, we always go back putting in Andrew Maxwell. Come on, son. Come on. You can't do that.
But, hey, you got to be happy with a 10-1 record.
And, you know, Max brings up a good point. When we talked about before this season, the preseason hype, you know, compared it to Michigan and Michigan State, the preseason hype for Michigan, I mean, was head above heels, well above Michigan State's.
Devin Gardner
is overrated.
For Heisman. Devin Gardner,
exactly.
For Heisman.
Yes, that's what people were talking about.
Yikes.
But, you know what? And I tell you what, Devin Gardner, you know, talking about that game, just completely overrated. Devin Gardner is totally overrated. And, of course, it's fitting that that game ended. You know, I call him the turnover king. It ended on a Devin Gardner fumble. You know what I mean? And you sit there, you just, I don't know. And he only passed, what, I think it was 98 yards. He wasn't great. The offensive line for Michigan was better. But, you know, they only allowed one sack on Saturday compared to other games where, you know, he's been eating grass left and right week by week. Rushing yardage was still bad, though. Michigan just looks like a depleted team right now, you know? And I don't know. You want to weigh in? I don't know.
I mean, they look beaten down,
yeah,
and broken, to be quite honest.
Yeah, they do. Exactly. Exactly.
I mean, you have a 21-7 halftime lead.
Yep.
You get gifted with a easy pick six to start the game. I mean, everything that could have, you know, gone their way in the first half did. You know, Jake Rudock throws two more interceptions.
Yeah,
two more after the initial one.
Yeah.
And you still can't overcome that.
It's a sad.
It's bad. Thing. You can't move the ball at all.
And it's crazy.
When your offense put up 500 yards on Indiana like a month ago.
Right.
It's night and day.
It really is. It really is. And it just makes you wonder what's going to happen in the offseason. I think there are going to be some big moves going to be made as far as the coaching staff this offseason. That's just me talking and predicting here. But it's so funny because now you look at MSU football and basketball. Head above heels. You know, you got the best basketball team in the nation. MSU now is 11th in the nation in the game of football. And you look at Michigan. You know, Michigan gets beat by Charlotte yesterday in Puerto Rico. Couldn't pull it off. And the football team looks just totally out of sync. My, oh, my. It's a lot of trash being talked for many people wearing the green and white. I tell you that. All right, well, we're going to hit the break really quick. When we come back, we're going to talk about the Lions and Bucks, folks. You don't want to miss that conversation. Again, if you want to express your thoughts on anything we talk about here on the show, do like Max just did. Give us a call, 517-355-9527. Again, that's 517-355-9527. Don't go anywhere. We're going to talk Lions and Buccaneers right after this. Now, welcome back to Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. You're just now joining us here on Current Sports. Well, we just finished talking about some college football action, of course, that happened around the Mid-Michigan area. MSU topping Northwestern. They take the Legends Division title, folks. And they now get ready for Minnesota this week on Saturday. And Michigan, of course, losing to Iowa. this past weekend. How about that? All right, well, let's shift things to the NFL. Yesterday, the Lions and Buccaneers in action. The Buccaneers, folks. And it was not a great outing for the Lions at all. 24-21, your final as the Buccaneers topped the Lions. Tampa Bay has now won three straight after losing its first eight games, joining the only other team to do that, 1978 St. Louis Cardinals. It's the only NFL team to do that. And the Lions, they just had five turnovers for the Lions. Guys, first of all, I'll let you guys start off. What were your thoughts on the Lions yesterday?
Just pure frustration. Is there any harder team to root for than the Lions?
They look like the same old Lions yesterday.
Last 2 weeks, they had a tremendous opportunity to pad their division lead, and they lay two consecutive eggs against teams that they should beat. If Pittsburgh at Pittsburgh is understandable, losing to the Bucs at home, ugh.
If we could rewind the clocks to last Friday's edition of Current Sports to hear Al Martin.
I knew you were going to do that. I knew you were going to call me out because what I said Friday about the Bucs being, quote, the worst team in the NFL. I knew it was going to happen. Go ahead.
Well, I'm just saying that it's amazing to me that a team that's won two in a row, going for three, total bashing.
The Lions gave that to the Bucs. Let's be honest here.
No, the Bucs are good, Al.
The Lions gave
four interceptions,
that game.
Yeah, but.
Alex, the Lions gave that. Anytime you have four interceptions, Matthew Stafford was horrid yesterday. Horrid, absolutely. He was 26 of 46, 297 yards. But I tell you what, Stafford, I think Stafford, Matthew Stafford's overrated. I don't know.
I mean, it certainly helps that he gets to throw the best receiver in.
Exactly. Taking away the Calvin Johnson miraculous catches and, you know, targeting, you got Megatron on your team. But Matthew Stafford just forces way too many throws. And we saw it yesterday. I'm sitting there looking like, what are you looking at, Matt? I thought it was a bad outing for him. I mean, of course, he had, you know, the blunt of MSU, the Lions' four turnovers. One of them was a fumble, of course. But, man, the Lions, they got to get it together, guys, because, like I said, when we were looking at the schedule, you know, and we said they could possibly win out and just really stretch things out, and they're lucky. They are so lucky that tie happened between Green Bay and Minnesota, because I believe if Green Bay would have won, I believe it would have been a three-man tie at the top of the division. Now it's a two-man tie with the Lions and the Bears. They're very lucky. They're dodging bullets right now because they're still technically atop the NFC North. But you just look at it and say, what if they get the win over Pittsburgh, if they get the win over the Bucs yesterday? I mean, the Lions are creme de la creme. Right? They would have been getting so many praises right now. But you just sit there and, you know, you look at how that game ended. And Calvin Johnson, you know, if he does cough up the ball, that's usually how it happens. He either gets hit and the ball comes out of his hands, or it seems as though when he catches it, we've seen that time to time where he gets hit. You need to wrap it up, Calvin. Wrap up the ball after you get it. Well, you're an outstanding receiver, but wrap up that football and protect it once you have your hands on it. And we saw that's how the game ended yesterday, off of a turnover that really wasn't Matthew Stafford's fault. That wasn't Stafford's fault at all.
No, but he had plenty that were.
Oh, yeah. I mean, definitely.
When you throw two picks in the red zone, I mean, that's a potential 14-point swing each way. I mean, that's terrible. And Chris Durham's fumble was ridiculous.
Yeah,
it was ridiculous. It was just amazing that the Lions still had a chance to win the game at the end.
Because you're playing the Bucs.
Because you are playing the Bucs. And, you know, they're not the worst team in football.
You guys, listen.
They're certainly not the best.
They're not the best. You're talking about the Bucs are a team with – they don't have many offensive weapons or any weapons they could really throw at you.
They've been ravaged by injuries, too.
A lot of injuries.
They lost the two backs.
A lot of injuries. What's that?
They lost their starting running backs at the beginning
of the year. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They're, coming into that game on Sunday, they're one of the worst teams in the NFL.
But let me just say this. Darrell Revis left the game with an injury. And it still didn't stop him. I'm saying you have to contribute some of the success to the Tampa Bay defense. I mean, although, yeah, Stafford had a horrid
Stafford
game. The pass coverages were pretty solid for the most part.
I don't know, man. You're playing the Buccaneers. This is a Lions team. Then if you would have brought up the Buccaneers a few weeks ago, you would have said, oh, that's an easy win. Walk in the park. You know what? The mentality coming to that game, I think, for the Lions, off rip at the very beginning of that game, And I got to blame this on the coaching staff. They looked way too relaxed coming into that game. They just seemed like, oh, I think they had the mentality, oh, we're playing the Buccaneers. Oh, this should be a walk in the park. No, you're the Detroit. Look at the history of this team. You're still the Lions. You have no room to just think any game is a walk in the park.
I agree. And A, you're the Lions. B, this is the NFL. There are no gimme weeks.
No gimme.
I mean, the Jaguars have two wins now.
Right.
There's no team that you can just chalk up an easy W.
Nope.
This is the NFL. This is professional football. It's way too competitive.
Right.
And the other thing is, how do you have a coaching staff that's that relaxed after they blew the game against Pittsburgh?
Totally blew that one, yep.
Wouldn't you think they would come out firing and send a message and say, hey, you know, we're not going to let this ruin our season? Because now, I mean, who knows what happens Thursday?
You never know now.
Aaron Rodgers is up in the air.
Right.
But
right. Yeah, you know, it's going to be interesting, man.
The NFC North, 3 weeks ago, people were saying, wow, is this one of the best divisions in football? You've got three really good teams.
Right.
2 weeks later, everybody's 6-5, or 5-5-1. We're all terrible. And right. You know, at least the Bears and Packers have an injury excuse.
Yeah.
The Lions
have no
are just
excuse.
Terrible.
They're just
what are
bad.
They doing?
Exactly. They're just going out there. And you know, it's the fat and happy mentality.
It is.
They came into that game saying, okay, we're playing I feel the same way against with the Pittsburgh game. We're playing the Steelers. They haven't been great this season. Look at their record. You get fat and happy. You relax on a few plays, and all of a sudden you're looking at a loss. And that's exactly what's going on with this team. Will they rebound? This Thanksgiving, they have the Green Bay Packers playing. I think we'll see Aaron Rodgers play. I think he'll get up for that game. What do you guys think will happen? Give me a prediction.
Well, I certainly think the Lions will give a better effort. Mm-hmm. They always play hard on Thanksgiving anyway. And with it being, you know, kind of a huge game as far as division implications go, I think they're going to bring a much better effort than they have the last 2 weeks. I think they'll probably win. But at this point, I am not comfortable predicting any Lions game because...
You think they'll win, but you wouldn't be surprised if they lose.
I would be less than surprised if they lost.
Yeah.
They play hard in Thanksgiving, but if you look at the last decade and even the last couple years, they typically lose. So I'm going to say the Lions lose.
But they do always play, like, elite teams.
They play crazy good.
I mean,
the Packers
aren't
elite. So, yeah.
I know, it changes
the game if Aaron Rodgers is healthy in playing, I think. But I'm going to say... I think the Lions do pull it off. Maybe that's the hoping Al out of me coming out. You know what I mean? Would I be surprised if they completely blow it and get blown out or lose the game? I wouldn't be surprised.
If Matt Flynn plays, we all know what happened the last time Matt Flynn played the Lions.
He only
made himself about $15 million in an afternoon. So.
Right.
Great,
exactly.
We'll see, man.
Flynn, you never know.
Flynn's drive turkey, man. I mean, he's gonna do well.
We will see. Turkey Day. The Lions and Packers. So, guys, wow, time flies on the show. All right, 157, and we didn't get – well, college basketball, of course, MSU, they win the Coaches versus Cancer tourney. Keith Appling has just been so darn good, just spot on. He's been impressive. We'll talk about that tomorrow. Also, Charlotte upsetting Michigan. You know what? That's another overrated basketball. That's another overrated team. I thought the Michigan football team was overrated coming into the season. I think their basketball team is overrated
who's more overrated, Michigan basketball or Matthew Stafford?
Or Matthew Stafford. Oh, yeah. That's a good one. You know what? I'm going to say Michigan basketball. Michigan basketball is definitely overrated right now. They lost a lot of – I mean, you lose Trey Burke. You lose Tim Hardaway Jr. Mitch McGarry is – you know, he was named preseason – All-American starting lineup there. I'm sitting there like, what? Really? Mitch McGarry's? You know, I didn't see that at all. And I have to go with Michigan basketball on that one. We're gonna dive into that game because they lost on a buzzer-beating win for Charlotte. Charlotte pulling out that one. We're also gonna have a special Top 5 Tuesday for you all tomorrow. Top 5 things that we're thankful for in the world of sports.
Aww.
That's cute, right? I thought that one yesterday.
I like that.
Yeah, that smile. That's pearly white Sal.
All right. Well, before we leave, special thanks to everyone that contributed to today's episode of Current Sports. Production assistants Alex Shark, Matt Lucky, engineer Aaron Young, Peter Wharf, our station manager here at WKAR. Thanks to Kevin Cope for joining me. They now move on to the Sweet 16. You can listen to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR East Lansing and WKAR FM HD3 East Lansing. As always, take care, have a fantastic start to your week, and be easy, people.